In Delaware Valley, we recently finished a study of the book of Genesis and are now entered into a study of the book of Exodus. And we marveled at the precision of God's timekeeping and the precision of God's overruling in each action and each purpose that we see in the patriarchs in Genesis and in Exodus. So when we say, how long was it? The question is, what do we know from Genesis and Exodus about Israel's timeline? And in particular, how long? How many years did the people of Israel live in Egypt prior to the Exodus? Well, where do we find the answers to this question in the scriptures? So we'd like to consider the scriptures together with you today. The question seemingly is answered very simply in Exodus chapter 12, verses 40 and 41. It seemingly answers the question. The time that the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Seemingly a clear and simple statement. However, there are difficulties with that rendering of the text. Apostle Paul reveals the time frame of the 430 years in the book of Galatians. Chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it's been ratified. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. That is, adding the law on top of the Abrahamic covenant does not make the Abrahamic covenant void. Galatians 3, 15 to 17 clearly teaches that the 430 years began with the Abrahamic covenant and ended with the inauguration of the law covenant at Mount Sinai. Let's look at the events that comprise this 430 year period. So we'll do a little simple math, one bite at a time. These are the building blocks. And our first building block is this: the covenant was made with Abraham when he was 75 years old. We know that from Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So that's the time of the making of the covenant. Abram is 75 years old. The 430 years then began when Abram left Haran. The next step in our scriptural chronology is the 25 years that passed between the making of the covenant until the birth of Isaac, when Abram was 100 years of age. And Sarah conceived and bore Abram a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abram called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abram circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God commanded him. Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Well, 75 from 100 leaves 25 years. And if we subtract the 25 from our 430-year period, we have a remainder of 405 years. Regarding that period, we read in Genesis chapter 15, "Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions." Genesis 15, 13, and 14. We make a distinction here. Abram's seed would be afflicted for 400 years. They would not be enslaved for 400 years, merely their affliction. When did the affliction begin? Well, many have reckoned this time of affliction in this way. If we take that 400 years and subtract it from our 405 years that remain of the 430 years, that leaves us 5 years. So at this point, 30 years have gone by since the covenant was made with Abram. This has been proposed by many Bible students to be the age, 5, at which Isaac was weaned and his affliction at the hand of Ishmael began. "Now you brothers, like Isaac, are the children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so also it is now. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman." So the son born according to the flesh afflicted the son who was born according to the spirit. Well, the next significant time period from the birth of Isaac is the birth of Jacob and Esau, when Isaac was 60 years of age. The math is simple. 405 remaining years minus the 60 years age of Isaac when the twins were born leaves us with 345 years. So 345 years remain from this point until the day when Israel left Egypt. Genesis 47, 7 through 9, gives us the next piece of the puzzle. "Then Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and stood before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how many are the days of the years of your life? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their sojourning." Well, taking Jacob's 130 years and subtracting them from the remaining 345 years leaves us up 215 years from that point when Jacob meets with Pharaoh until the day that Israel left Egypt. It's very interesting to us that this meeting between Jacob and Pharaoh is exactly in the middle of the 430-year time period. Obviously, 215 plus 215 is 430. But what comes next? Before we go there, I'd like to take a little diversion and take a moment to look at the precision of God's timekeeping as illustrated in the ages of the patriarchs. We found this quite interesting. Hebrew scholars, in looking at the ages of the patriarchs, saw numerical relationships. Abram lived to be 175. Isaac, 180. Jacob lived to be 147. Joseph lived to be 110. And these relationships were seen in the mathematical computation of the years of their age at death. And they go in increasing order of magnitude and decreasing order of magnitude. Abram, 5 squared, Isaac, 6 squared, Jacob, 7 squared, and Joseph, well, we'll get to that in a moment. But the squares are multiplied by a descending numerical or mathematical principle. 7, 5, 3, and for Joseph, we could rightly put times 1. So 5 squared times 7, that's 25 times 7, is 175. 6 squared times 5 is 180. 7 squared times 3 is 147. And it's fascinating that if we take the squares, 25, 36, 49, add them together, they bring us to the age of Joseph, 110 years old. I think this is remarkable and thrilling testimony to the inspiration of the scriptures and the ability of Jehovah God to overrule human history, to overrule the lives of his holy people, to make all things work according to his will. We believe in a sense that Joseph was a patriarch, the last of the patriarchs. If we take the squares, 25, 36, 49, and multiply by one remaining, Joseph is that last patriarch. And we think credence is lent to that by the fact that Jacob told Joseph that his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, would replace him in the tribes of Israel. Joseph was not given a place as a tribe in the division of the lands, but Ephraim and Manasseh were. The amazing math of God. We are so thankful for this sidelight lesson. But going back, so of our 430 years, we have accounted for 215, and it was really pretty easy to do. But now we want to fill in that remaining 215-year period. Joseph was 30 years old when he rose to power, and we saw that in Genesis 41, 46. There were 7 years of plenty after that. Then 7 years of famine occurred, and Jacob and his family moved to Egypt in the second year of the famine, as we read in Genesis 45, 7 through 11. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me, that is Joseph, before you, to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry, and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. Joseph was 30 when he ascended to power. 7 years of plenty transpired, and 2 years of famine. If we add those up, obviously, that's 39 years from the time that Joseph was in power. So Joseph was 39 years old when his family joined him in Egypt, and 215 years of the 430 had passed. The people of Israel lived in Egypt for only 215 years from that point until the Exodus. Well, the next step in dividing up the 430 years is as follows, as we put more pieces of the puzzle together. Joseph lived to be 110 years of age, and he was 39 when Israel moved to be with him in Egypt. So, again, simple math, 110 years minus 39 years leaves us 71. We subtract 71 years from the remaining 250 years, and that leaves us a remainder of 144 years. At this point, at the death of Joseph, there are 144 years remaining of the 430, from his death until the covenant at Mount Sinai. But we don't have a connection now through a patriarch's age or a time period specified to us to take from Joseph's death to Sinai. But the Lord has provided us a way to account for more of that time, a way to connect more of the pieces together. We back extrapolate using the age of Moses at the time of the Exodus, and that's the key. Exodus 7:5. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them. Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Subtracting Moses' age at the time of the Exodus from the remaining 144 years leaves us 64 years. From the death of Joseph to the birth of Moses was only 64 years. That's quite remarkable. However, a bit later on, we'll narrow down that 64-year period a little further. But the fact that there was only 64 years from Joseph to Moses, I think adds much greater force to the declaration of Scripture. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramesses. It was during this 64-year period that the good which Joseph had done for Egypt was disregarded and the people of Israel were enslaved. You know, that's a shorter time period than I've been alive. And certainly I have memories of the golden Eisenhower years and how much my mother enjoyed that time period and, you know, the actions of President Kennedy and so on. These are all things very current in my mind and still of notable memory in society. Perhaps at the death of Joseph, there was a power vacuum in Egypt, which led to the ascent of an evil Pharaoh, which knew not Joseph. And I think that's very likely. You know, it's supposed that the Hyksos kings who came into Egypt came at about this time. And because of the power vacuum left at the death of Joseph, they didn't find a coup too difficult to accomplish. From Clark's commentary, we look at this word, Pharaoh which knew not Joseph. The verb, yada, which we translate to know, often signifies to acknowledge or approve. The Greek verbs, and I won't attempt to pronounce those, are used precisely in the same sense in the New Testament. We may therefore understand by the new king's not knowing Joseph, his disapproving of that system of government which Joseph had established, as well as his haughtily refusing to acknowledge the obligations under which the whole land of Egypt was laid to this eminent prime minister of one of his predecessors. Yada, 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 said Pharaoh. Very dismissive. So it's not that he didn't know who Joseph was. I'm sure he heard plenty about Joseph. Joseph used to do this way. Oh, that's not the way Joseph used to do these things. Yada, yada, yada. I've heard enough about Joseph. I don't recognize his authority. It's essentially what Pharaoh was saying. There is another difficulty with the thought that Israel dwelt in Egypt for 430 years. And we find this difficulty in tracing the genealogy of Moses. And I give attribution here to the work of the Edgar brothers in their marvelous work, Great Pyramid Passages. So we continue with the scripture. Exodus 6, 16 to 20. These are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, the years of the life of Levi being 137 years. The sons of Gershon, Libni and Shimei by their clans, the sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel, the years of the life of Kohath being 133 years. The sons of Merari, Mahli and Moshi, these are the clans of the Levites according to their generations. Amram took as his wife Jochebed, his father's sister, and she bore him Aaron and Moses, the years of the life of Amram being 137 years. So this diagram we took from Great Pyramid Passages, and what is it showing us? Well, the Edgars propose that if there were 430 years spent in Egypt, the chronology, the genealogy that we just read would be very, very difficult to accomplish. So on Moses' maternal lineage side, we have Levi, who was probably about 97 years of age when he came into the land of Egypt to dwell. Moses, we know, at the time of the Exodus, was 80 years old. If we take those time periods, and you can see them laid out there, it would mean that Moses' mother, Jochebed, would have to have been 253 years old when Moses was born. Obviously, that's not possible. On his paternal side, Moses' genealogy, his grandfather lived to be 133 years. If his grandfather had his father in the last year of his life, then Amram would be born and live 137 years and perhaps beget Moses at the end of that lifespan. But even if we had that situation, even if Kohath gave or fathered Amram at 133, and if Amram fathered Moses at 137, we still have an 80-year gap in our 430-year period. We thank the Edgars for that, tracing the genealogy through both his mother and his father. Now, Levi was older than Joseph, and he lived to be 137. We don't know the age difference between Levi and Joseph precisely, but when Joseph was 39 in the second year of the famine, when his family came to Egypt, Levi was probably around 46 years old. That leaves Levi 90 plus years dwelling in Egypt. So Levi 46, dwelling in Egypt. If we take the 97 years plus 80 years, we have 177 years. And as we noted earlier, if Israel dwelled in Egypt 430 years, then Moses' mother Jochebed gave birth to him at the age of 253. And likewise, again, if we add the lifespan of Kohath and Amram, there's an 80-year gap in the 430 years before the birth of Moses. An interesting consequence of this relates to Exodus 1, verses 6 through 8. Then Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. After that, there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. So Joseph died at 110, and Levi lived to be 137. So there's a 6-year difference. Levi outlived Joseph by approximately 21 years. It was after Joseph and his brethren died that the evil Pharaoh rose to power. So we may properly subtract another 21 years from our remaining 64 years and conclude that the period during which Pharaoh enslaved Israel was of a much shorter duration than we formerly thought. At most, it was 43 years, assuming that Levi was the last of the sons of Jacob to die. So, from the death of Levi to the covenant at Mount Sinai was 123 years. That's 43 years plus Moses' age of 80 at the Exodus. Further confirmation. Genesis 15, 13 through 16. Then the Lord said to Abram, "Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." These are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations. And we'll see the four generations from the going into the land to the coming out of the land. They are Gershon, Kohath, Merari. Gershon, Libni, Shimei by their clans, the sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. The years of the life of Kohath being 133 years. The sons of Merari, Mahli, and Mushi, these are the clans of the Levites according to their generations. Amram took as his wife Jochebed, his father's sister, and she bore him Aaron and Moses, the years of the life of Amram being 137 years. So the four generations, Levi, Kohath, Amram, and Moses. The four generations that fulfill Genesis 15, 13 through 16. So it was in the days of Moses that the fourth generation from God's promise to Abraham that they would come forth from the land of Egypt. How long was it? Was it long enough? You know, we read that all the descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, and Joseph was already in Egypt. We further read that the people of Israel that journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. We find that in Exodus chapter 12. Well, what does that have to do with this point? Well, estimates are based on the 600,000 men on foot to account for their families, their wives, their parents, and approximately 2.2 million people are thought to have left Egypt during the Exodus. Was 215 years enough time to grow from 70 to 2.2 million? Well, it did seem that twins ran in the family, and the Lord blessed them mightily. Pharaoh noticed how productive the Jewish people were. He put limits on the newborn males that they would have to be killed just to stop the process. And we must remember that Jehovah blessed Israel exceedingly in the fruit of their bodies. Their growth as a people was miraculous. Was it long enough? Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied. and the more they spread abroad. And the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was Shiphrah and the other Puah, when you serve as a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and let the male children live? The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. The psalmist extols the blessing of Jehovah God on Israel during their sojourn in Egypt in multiplying the fruit of their body. We read from Psalm 105, verses 23 and 24. Then Israel came to Egypt. Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes. It was divine blessing that increased the fruit of their bodies. And we think that it is very, very, very feasible that God, working this miracle, had multiplied their numbers so greatly. We started at the beginning with the reading of Exodus 12:40. And we said it seemingly is a simple answer, but as we have seen, it's not so simple. But let's reread this. Exodus 12:40 and 41. The time that the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. So our Bibles are translated from the Masoretic Hebrew text. But there are other sources independent of the Masoretic that we can turn to see if they shed any light on this subject. The two we would like to look at with you this morning, are the Septuagint and the Samaritan Pentateuch. So Exodus 12:40 and 41 from those versions. The Samaritan Pentateuch, in all its manuscripts and printed copies, reads thus, and I won't attempt to read the Hebrew words there, but the translation below them says, now, the sojourning of the children of Israel and of their fathers, which they sojourned in the land of Canaan and in the land of Egypt, was 430 years. Now that opens that window of possibility greatly. The 430 years applied to the time, both when they lived in Egypt and when they sojourned in Canaan. We remember that the patriarch Abraham really inherited not so much of the land as to set foot in, but he was a pilgrim and a stranger. And so this reading of the Samaritan Pentateuch confirms that they did their sojourning in the land of Canaan and in the land of Egypt for 430 years. We also look at the Septuagint, which was translated from the Hebrew text, the Greek rendition of it. And reading those verses 40 and 41, it's a little difficult to read, but I'll have it on another slide in just a moment. But the sojourning of the children of Israel while they sojourned in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan was 430 years. The Septuagint affirms the Samaritan Pentateuch. So it's not just the sojourning in the land of Egypt. It's the sojourning in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan. Well, dear brethren, I thank you for your time and attention this morning. We realize we were putting up a lot of numbers and addition and subtraction, but we hope that we made it clear and easy to follow. Why did I choose this subject? Because, brethren, we just marvel at the detail and the harmony of Scripture. It's awe-inspiring. And when we see all these little details, the ages of the patriarchs and the interworkings of the patriarchs and the outworking of God's plan in the nation of Israel, it's just amazing. I had always thought that Israel had lived for over 400 years before this evil Pharaoh rose to power, and never really thought it to be that significant a problem that Pharaoh didn't recognize or know Joseph. Well, that was 4 centuries ago, but it was not 4 centuries ago. It was between 40 and 50 years. And so it comes much more of a shock. It comes to us with much greater force that this Pharaoh says, "Who is Joseph to me?" Yada, yada, yada. And lastly, dear brethren, Jehovah is in control of all the affairs of all his people and the timing of his plans. We therefore trust him in fullness of faith, and may the Lord add his blessing.